free to grab one. We're taught in our culture that some of the greatest values are our independence, our autonomy, and our self-will. And these ideas are so ingrained in us today that we may not even think about their effect on us. But when we compare these values, these things that we're supposed to cherish and hold the dearest, our independence, our autonomy, and our self-will, we realize that that which Christ wishes for us, that which Christ admonishes on us in the Holy Scriptures, things like obedience, humility, and submission, really stand in such stark opposition to that which our culture says that we should value. For many, even those in the church, the teachings from the Scriptures in this regard may conjure up ideas of oppression or lack of freedom, the very opposite of our culture's modern values. Now, our pride tells us that we should be able to think and do as we please. We don't need anyone telling us what we should be about. We want no one directing us or telling us right from wrong. We don't want any consequences for our actions either. Our pride tells us that our autonomy from others is freedom, and that humility is really weakness. Certainly Adam and Eve, if we go all the way back, thought that they were gaining wisdom in their disobedience to God's will in the garden. And isn't this often the way that Satan works, by twisting words, right? He said that they would gain understanding of good and evil, and in some sense it's true, right? They did gain an understanding of good and evil by disobeying God. But this was no wisdom. This plunged them into separateness from God and from the blessed life that they had with Him. And from that sin, the whole environment changed. Cain murdered his brother, and so on and so on. And so we continue to struggle with this temptation of preferring our own will, our own way, over the way that God has entrusted to us for our well-being, for our healing, our salvation. The problem is we often see God's prescription for our healing and protection as something arbitrary, as if God simply thought it up to be some kind of a killjoy. But nothing could be further from the truth. Rather, in God's repeated calling to us to become His co-heirs, partakers of the inheritance of the saints, as St. Paul puts it today, His love, His grace, all of these gifts that He gives us, we see His divine fatherly patience with us, His love for us. He teaches and disciplines us so that He can save us, so that He can protect us, so that we can enjoy communion life with Him. Allow me to give you an example from parenthood, because it's so much on my mind these days. I often have to warn Anna, is Anna over there in John's arms, not to touch the hot stove or the fireplace. Now, in our case, in order to protect Anna, we've established the rule that she can't even touch the screen in front of the fireplace. Why? Well, because it could fall over on her or on Jacob, or she could push it in and fall in herself. We don't know. But we want to protect her. And I'm sure in some sense, at her age and her state of understanding, it seems arbitrary. Why can't I do this? She just doesn't understand. She doesn't know, thank God, what it means to be burned. And so she gets angry when she can't touch the screen or get closer to the fire. But we know. And so in love, we direct her to what we know to be good. We discipline her to teach her what's safe and what's good. And God is so much more loving than us imperfect parents. He's striving to save our immortal souls so that we can be with Him forever. And not just as some future thing, but even now, so that we can already begin to experience the kingdom of heaven, communing with him, growing in holiness. And he knows that we don't always understand the consequences of our sins, our prideful independence and disobedience of his prescriptions for our freedom from our passions, our freedom from being tied down to this world. Contrary to the impulses that we may have, particularly as Westerners living in the 21st century, obedience in the church, we're told, is good for us. Our accountability in the church and to one another is good for us. They help us to battle our pride, to grow in humility. And therefore, as we grow in these things in Christ-likeness, in communion with him, and through these countercultural virtues, we're enabled to more faithfully participate in the sacraments so that they can have their desired effect on us and deify us. We're equipped to struggle, to live for God. We're not patted on the back and just sent our way. We're loved and cherished as fellow strugglers against our sin sickness, looking for Christ God's healing. And we're equipped to witness to his truth and embrace the life that is only in him. Many of us can identify with what happens if we have a prideful spirit and are trying to witness or communicate the faith to others. We fall flat on our face, don't we? But with God and with growth in him and reliance on him and obedience to him and doing the things that we know he's commanded us to do, there's peace. And there's reassurance that God will be with us. Sometimes this growth in these very countercultural things come very slowly. And always, I think, with much struggle because we're still in the world. But faith is made through such struggle. In the midst of that acknowledgement, we can't do it on our own, and our reliance on God is the one thing needful. We grow in faith, we grow in our pleading with him to help us to continue to become the man or woman of God that he's made us to be. And so struggle, for this reason, is always a victory. Christ, in the humility that he himself exhibits to us, bids us to come outside of ourselves and our self-focus so that we may be Christ-bearers to one another. We do so by living the faith once received by the saints before us, submitting our own preferences, our own ideas and opinions, or those of the culture around us, maybe that's been convincing us, to the truth that Christ prescribes for us through his church that doesn't change because he himself is that truth. And this too is humility, isn't it? Receiving the faith that Christ God has entrusted to us and strives to impart to us through our example to others. Along with growth in humility, we need accountability and obedience. We need the priest as confessor and pastor. And this is true from the bishops all the way on down. The priests in turn need their bishop and they need their flock, just as the people need their priest to love them as a spiritual father, to look out for their spiritual health, to care for them, and encourage them in their growth in Christ. We're all invaluable in the body of the church. And together, we build up that body. The priests can't do it alone, and the people can't do it on their own. We need each other, each contributing our particular gifts and talents, because we're a family. We're not just autonomous individuals. We're the body of Christ, as we heard today in the epistle. Together in our mutual accountability and submission to one another, this order that Christ himself has established, we become partakers of the inheritance of the saints in God's kingdom. Today is a special day because we commemorate one of the great saints of the church, Euthemius. And he was a great model of humility exercised through obedience and godly submission. Obedience, he tells us, is a great virtue. The Lord loves obedience more than sacrifice. But disobedience, he assures us, leads to our death. Euthymius can say this because he rightly knew that the Lord wants to keep us who are in the world from being swallowed up alive by the culture, by any culture. He knows the temptation to compromise the faith to get along, to not have any consequences for living out our faith in the midst of people who might reject what it is that we believe and teach as the faith once received. Euthymius fought the good fight of faith against the Nestorians, speaking the truth in love. He knows what it is like to be unpopular or to be rejected because of your Orthodox faith. And Euthymius rightly knew that God, in his love for us, just like a parent keeping his child safe, desires to heal and save our souls and to give us the joy of his kingdom. God sees where our belief and our actions lead. And so he gives us warnings, teachings, and accountability in the church to keep us safely on this path, further up and further in the life that he alone is. The struggle to be obedient to Christ God, to submit our lives to him in our age, means that we may be rejected by others. I'm sure many of you have experienced this already. But Christ calls on us to hold fast to the faith once received. He says to us today of those who suffer for his truth, "Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you, and cast out your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven." Like a parent loving a small child, so God loves us. He alone sees all ends. He knows the why of his teachings and admonitions on us to live a holy life. He's in care of each one of our souls, desiring our growth in him and our life in him more than anything else. And when we submit ourselves to the life in him through his church, we do so not following some modern reinterpretation of the Christian faith or the latest fad in worship or new popular ideas about redefining God as if we know better, but rather we follow the way that's been proven, the way that's been revealed, the way that's led countless sinners before us to become the most glorious of saints and fellow partakers of the kingdom. Christ bids us to deny ourselves and to take up our cross and to follow him. Living in this world, but not being of this world, witnessing to his truth, goes contrary to the way of our culture and those who do not know God. But Christ assures us of this paradox. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Just so obedience and submission lead to our freedom, not to enslavement. And knowing Christ leads us to greater love. St. Euthymius knew this truth of Christ's way, of self-denial, obedience, and humility as the way that leads to life with God and growth in that life. He taught it and he lived it to the end. He fell asleep with these words on his lips: "Every virtue is made secure by love and humility. The Lord humbled himself because of his love for us and became man. Therefore, we ought to praise him unceasingly." May we too follow this way of humility, obedience, and mutual accountability that Christ God has shown us through his life and that of all his saints, so that we too can become fellow partakers of his kingdom and experience the joy and peace of life with him. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to you forever.